Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of AI Horizons with me, Jonathan Blaber, head of AI staffing practice. Today I really want to talk about a really important topic, which, you know, let's face it, is so important to get the board on your side when making these kind of decisions around adopting AI. Now I've brought an expert who really specializes in AI strategy, comes from a strong data background, Helen Mannion. Helen, welcome to the show.
Lovely to be here. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for joining. Helen, I always love to start with a short intro on the guest, you know, your journey, where you've come from. I think the audience would really, really like just to know the kind of career behind you. So over to you, Helen.
So my background is data and AI through and through. That is the job that I've always done since I left uni. I've spent a lot of my career delivering data and AI transformations for large corporate organisations like Specsavers, O2, GIFGAF. More recently, I've founded Prosper Leadership, which provides coaching and advisory services, specialising in data and AI strategy, cultural change and leadership development.
Awesome. So we're in safe hands when we're talking about strategy, when we're talking about influencing the board and getting them to understand your ways of thinking. So, yeah, really great to have you on. I guess I'd just love to kind of really kickstart the conversation, you know, around what we can be doing to, you know, influence, you know, the board. So crafting an AI narrative that resonates with board members. So especially when they don't have a technical background, can be really challenging, I'd imagine, right? So what's the kind of, where's your wisdom and experience that can help, you know, our audience in that kind of scenario?
I think that one of the first things to build that relationship with sort of very senior leaders across the organization is to try and talk more in their language. And I think that if you've lived in a data and AI world for many years, like I have, it's very easy to almost become oblivious to the language that other people don't really understand. And it's so easy to cross wires when you're speaking to people and they take something completely different from what you've actually said, or the way that you've said it. And it's not really what you mean, but it's their, how they interpret it in a different way. And I think that happens a lot in data and AI because there's a lack of understanding. And one of the things that I almost used to play a little game with myself sometimes, because I'm a big believer in actually when you're speaking to really senior business stakeholders, actually you don't really need to talk about data. Actually, what you want to talk about is the business and the outcomes. And so I almost used to play a little game with myself. How many times am I mentioning data and AI? Technical language. And like, because actually I kind of felt like I should stop, and it's really hard to stop, but that was always my ambition, stop talking about data and AI.
So and how would you kind of build that rapport? I mean, how would you kind of get into their world when you're coming from such a technical background? What's the kind of process you follow?
So I mean, you have to start with the business value and the outcomes that they want to drive. Ultimately, I think that that's really where you've got to start. I think that it's fascinating sometimes, because when you go into lots of those conversations, people recognize you as a data and AI expert. They know that when you're coming to the conversation. So I find sometimes, even when I say to people, what are your business objectives? Or what's the biggest thing you want to achieve? The answer they give me is a data answer. It's not actually their biggest objective at all. It's what they think my business objective should be that's linked to what they ultimately want to achieve, if that makes sense. So they might say, well, my customer data is really bad, really poor quality.
Sure.
And I think that just continuing to really tap into, but no, that's not really what I meant. What ultimately do you want to achieve is really important part of building that relationship and understanding, building that understanding. And understanding is the core of any relationship.
Yeah, I mean, I can imagine that there's a, I wouldn't say a barrier, but almost a sense of, right, we have a data and AI expert here. So the problem I'm trying to solve should be data and AI. But whereas it,
Yes,
actually,
totally.
when you strip it back, it isn't a data problem or an AI problem as such. It's a business, challenge that you're trying to solve or business problem. So
Totally.
on board, absolutely. So, in terms of some of the effective ways frame AI not just as, tech innovation, but more as a strategic enabler. So, getting that business mindset away from the data. What would you advise there?
I mean, again, for me, again, it comes back to the business goals, the benefits, the outcomes. It all centers around the value. I don't think these conversations should be technical. I mean, maybe there's an element of technical when you're speaking to maybe a CIO or a CTO, but other than that, I don't think technical plays a part. This conversation should be 100% around the value add, the outcomes that you're going to drive, the benefits you're going to drive, and technical details are almost secondary, if valid at all, in that conversation, I think.
I can imagine it's quite, as a techie person as well, coming into these conversations, I can imagine it's quite, you're almost withdrawn a little bit, like, I really want to get deep into technicalities, but you just take a step back, focus on the business challenge. Yeah, and we're hearing that so much as well, Helen. We go back to all of these podcast series, it's always, everyone that's coming, start with the why. What are you actually trying to achieve? And then formulate that
Totally.
strategy from there. So completely, completely agree. But when it does come to, setting strategies, how can AI leaders ensure their AI strategies are clearly tied to the broader strategic goal?
I think you have to start with the goals. I think that what is a really common mistake is you start with the data, we start with AI. And I feel quite lucky that I learned this lesson very early on in my career, as quite a junior analytics manager. I had a very senior MD, and I'd done what I thought was some amazing analytics, quite innovative for its time, which was a long time ago now. And I'd gone to him and I said, "Look, this is what I've got." And he'd said to me, "That sounds amazing. I really want to adopt it." And I was like, really excited. And then he said to me, how are we going to use it? I really want to use it. How can I use it?" And I put together this deck, which had about 20 different ideas on how I thought they could use it. And we went through in like this board meeting with like whole of his leadership team. And I'm not kidding you, but every single idea that I came up with, they were like, "Nah, that's not going to work." Every single one. And I think this is the thing. When you try to retrofit, I designed the analytics before I'd understood the business. And I
Got
think when you
it.
try and retrofit, it just doesn't work. It's like searching for a needle in a haystack. You could go away and
Yeah.
design 20 different analytics solutions and they wouldn't still be right.
Because
And so you have to
you
start
haven't
the other way
understood
around.
the
You have to
I get
start the
it.
business first, then design the analytic solution.
That's great. Yeah, I mean, I can imagine a good learning curve for you for
I
sure,
mean,
and
I
for
can laugh at it now, but at the time it wasn't funny.
Oh, I can imagine. Yeah, and all this work that you put in, and it just gets kind of poo-pooed as such. But okay. And what about sharing a time when aligning AI with a business objective really helped secure board approval? Because that's what we're here to talk about, right? Is getting people on side, bought into what you're trying to achieve. What would be the kind of strategy around that?
So I think all board approvals ultimately need to, they will stem back to what they need to achieve in their business outcomes. I'd be really surprised if people are able to get board approval when they're not linking it back in some way or form. But I think the thing that people struggle with in this area is the level at which they're linking it back. So if you, and I think this is a common problem with data analytics, it's almost like if you go too granular, the use cases that you're articulating sometimes can be quite small. And so the ROI almost isn't quite appealing. But if you try and bring them up a level, you end up generalizing and they become a bit theoretical. And so you end up saying things like, well, this is going to be able to improve decision-making or strategic decision-making, but that feels just very intangible. And I think that this is the problem that ultimately is the balance between articulating the scale of what you can achieve, but also really pinpointing where it's really going to add value and how it's going to add value and what that's really going to mean for customers or colleagues or, you know, whatever the solution ultimately is going to impact.
Yeah, I mean, ROI as well, as you mentioned, it's a topic that's not quite really understood at the moment in terms of what AI can do and the level of ROI it can bring. I mean, have you, you know, just speaking generally, but have you, you know, seen some really cool, good, successful stories around a successful AI implementation?
I think that, the problem here is that because data and AI is ultimately enabler, there are an awful lot of different elements that need to happen, generally speaking, not always, but in the majority of cases, for actually that value to be realised. And for me personally, I would much prefer to put a return on investment on the end-to-end business value. Now, some of that is going to be because of your data and AI solution. There might be other people that are doing other things that are also contributing to that value chain, if that makes sense. But it becomes something that then isn't just a theoretical attributed number that actually becomes a forming of a proper business case that's real.
Yeah. No, I totally agree. I mean, as I say, though, it is really hard to put that number on it. And is it actually pound notes, you know, pound coins that it generates ROI? Or is it improving operational efficiency? Is it you're making your staff focus on the task they love as opposed to the repetitive tasks and giving them more time to enjoy their role? And there is that kind of argument of pounds versus, you know, staff well-being, happiness, that kind of thing. So
and again, I think that it doesn't necessarily need to be pounds and pence, and I think that also really depends on your organization. You know, like the objectives of your organization, as in Specsavers, you know, example, could be helping prevent sight loss. Mm-hmm. That's not mm-hmm. a pound and pence number.
No.
And but it is arguably the most important thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I don't think it needs to be pounds and pence. What I do think is that it needs to be really, really aligned with what the business sees as their core purpose.
Yeah. What are your values? What is your purpose? What are you trying to achieve here as a business goal? Yeah, and then strip it back and then measure what you've done and look at that as ROI. Yeah, completely agree for sure. Some really valid points, Helen. Thank you very much. So what about building confidence in your recommendations? So, you know, what practical steps can AI leaders take to build, you know, trust, credibility with the board when, you know, presenting AI initiatives that, yeah, could be quite technical, quite out of their grasp, or just, you know, just hard to understand? How would you go about that?
So I think you definitely need to do what you say. I think just generally, you know, if you want to build trust and credibility, it kind of just makes sense to follow that principle. But I think coming back to what we've also just been talking about, for me in data and AI world, it's about trying to take it away from the intangible nature that data and AI is. It's often misunderstood. It's often seen as black box or magic. It's not touchable. And lots of people can't really envisage what it's going to produce or give them. And so I think that when you can make it real, and that could be telling a story about the impact to a customer, or demonstrating how this is going to change somebody in your workforce and the impact to them. But I think whatever route it is, it could be just, you know, a simple value chain. This is what's going to happen. This is going to be the outcome. Could be a variety of ways, but I think that you need to make it tangible.
And that leads us on nicely to, I mean, you know, if I'm on the board, I want to see quick wins, right? You know, I want to be seeing quick results. But how do you manage that? You know, how do you manage expectations that it's not just about the quick wins, it's also about the longer term value?
Again, I think this depends on your organization a little bit too, coming back to what is their objective. Some organizations are going to be more concerned than others about the longer term trajectory and longer term strategy. Others are going to be more focused on the short term. Now, in all cases, you're going to need to make sure that you're not building sticky plasters everywhere all the time, right? Because it's going to break, definitely. So there's definitely an element if you're going to need to put your foundations in at some point. And you're definitely going to need to explain that process of how that's going to work. So I'm not saying, you know, just do quick wins and that's okay, because that obviously is not going to be satisfactory longer term. But I think that it is dependent really on what the organization wants to achieve. And I think what's most important is not whether your strategy has lots of quick wins or lots of long-term wins, but it's based on what your organization needs and wants. And you are super transparent about if you're delivering these quick wins, but they need additional work or they need to be productionized, that you're transparent about that upfront. So I think there's loads of value there. I think there's a lot of benefit in doing prototyping and you know, testing and looking for those quick wins, definitely, without a doubt. But I would say that if you're building those in a way that can't scale, can't be fully productionized, then you need to make sure that you're really transparent and clear at the beginning that this is going to need extra resource, money, time to really actually be fully implemented. So for me, this is more about transparency, really.
So just being honest, upfront, engaging, and just, you know, just set things out from the start. Like this, there is potentially going to be some challenges here. This is the timeline on ROI or what we're going to see back. You know, let's just be patient and just get everyone on board. But I do appreciate when you're top of the tree, you know, sitting on the board, you sometimes can't be too patient because it does cost. So where do you kind of draw a line, I guess, in terms of like timelines? And, you know, you can see this adding real value, but it's going to be 2 years or 3 years, 4 years. Where do you draw the line?
I don't think that line is for a data leader to draw.
Okay.
That line is not my decision. That line is a board's decision. But to make that decision, I need to be really clear and really transparent to give them the information they need to be able to make the right decision for the organization. So I could give them my recommendation, of course. But ultimately, I think that, you know, whether they're comfortable that they're going to get this value in this time, you know, you might be able to say, well, we might be able to bring those timelines forward and take these functionality out. You might be able to do different options, right? So there's always flex.
Yeah.
But I think ultimately your job as a data leader is not necessarily to make that decision. Your job is to be really, really transparent and clear so that other people can make that decision.
Yeah.
And you can deliver on what you've said you're going to do.
Yeah, that's such a good answer as well, Helen. Thank you so much. That is honestly, because, you know, I think everyone needs to have their role, their responsibility, and, you know, ultimately at board level, right? You are the decision maker on that part. You give the evidence and the wisdom and the knowledge behind what you're saying. But yeah, completely agree for sure. So kind of leads us nicely onto about board concerns, objections. Are there any kind of common like objections that a board will put in place when you're presenting a strategy like AI strategy?
So I think the three probably biggest concerns around data and AI, first would be accuracy. I don't think this is going to work because I don't think the data is good enough quality and it's not going to be good enough. I think that's a common concern. The second would be risk. So it could be privacy or ethics or, you know, brand reputational damage and those things that they would definitely worry about potentially. And I think the different organizations obviously worry about these things differently. So, but I think these are generally the three biggest, most common. And the third would be value. If I'm putting in this investment, what am I going to get out? And is that actually going to be realized? I think they're often the three biggest barriers in some shape or form, but I think different organizations are going to be more or less risk averse. Some are going to be more concerned about value. Some are going to be more concerned about accuracy. So it really depend, but I think generally they're the three biggest that I think I see.
Depends on the business, the circumstance. I completely understand. Is there any way that you would handle these kind of objections when, you know, obviously from you know, a data and AI leader, you have that understanding and confidence that, yeah, this is going to work, but someone non-technical saying, I don't think it's going to work. Is there anything that you would, you know, is there any kind of common ways to deal with that kind of scenario?
I think the first is you've got to really understand their perspective and you've got to tackle it at really what is the root of their concern. And I think the other thing is probably to be quite open-minded. Like maybe there's elements of their concern that are quite valid. I think then it's about working that through and sort of taking whatever the concerns are, whether they're these three or something else, and almost then working backwards from that concern to say, okay, well, is that a myth or is it reality? Number one. And then, you know, if it is true, you know, how is that really going to impact? And is there anything we can do to mitigate? So I think that's ultimately, you know, really what you need to do. And you might need to tap into other people across the organization to do that, to get multiple people's views. I mean, the other thing that I think is, you know, quite common, you know, is that a board might have an opinion and actually that they might be reassured if, you know, your risk and compliance manager, if they're worried about risk, they might be satisfied if your risk and compliance manager is happy, as an example. So I think it's kind of almost like you've got to consider the organization, you know, how the organization operates almost as well, to consider who do I need to get buy-in from, who needs to be aligned with this and Hannah happy with actually what we're doing and how we're doing it.
Who's going to be that ambassador kind of, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Some really, really interesting points, Helen, for sure. I think just to kind of finally, you know, in terms of wrapping up, you know, is there any final kind of advice you would give for AI leaders, you know, really trying to position themselves not just as technical experts, but as strategic partners to the board, you know, being where we're not just the techies, we're on your side kind of thing. Is there any final bits of advice you'd give?
I mean, I think that the biggest thing that anyone can do, if they want to truly become a strategic partner of the business, you need to understand the business. You've got to embed yourself in their world. You've got to understand how they operate, their processes. You've got to get to understand what they really care about. So I think you can never be a strategic business partner until you can stand in their shoes and understand how they think and feel. So I think for me, that's the biggest piece of advice I'd give if you really want to become a strategic partner.
And that is it, right? It is about putting your feet in their shoes, understanding why the objections are there and trying to ultimately come up with a solution that will work. If you ignore the objections, it's going to create problems down the line with the strategy. Completely agree. Helen, I think you've been absolutely fantastic. Thank you very much for joining us as a wonderful guest. Some really valid points that I think our audience will really value in terms of just, you know, creating that solution that's going to work and the steps that are going to do. So thank you so much, Helen. You've been a fantastic guest, and we look forward to having you on again.
Thank you very much for having me.
Thanks for listening to another episode of AI Insights with me, Jonathan Blaber, heading up our AI recruitment practice at Eden Smith. If you'd like to find out more, please visit our website, find me on LinkedIn, or email me at jonathan.blaber@edensmith.co.uk. Thanks again for listening.